step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Off Stage and On the Air, performance number 643. I am Lisa Sheps, and I will be with my co-host, Miss Nicole Shiro, in just a second. You are listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, streaming live at koop.org. Remember, if it's theater, it's on Off Stage and On the Air. Don't go away.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Yeah. Step right up, feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh yeah.
Ba-da-da-da, ba-da-da-da, ba-da-da-da-da-da. You can drive a person crazy. You can drive a person mad. Ba-da-da. First you make a person feel all hazy, so a person could be had. Ba-da-da. Then you leave a person dangling sadly outside your door, which it only makes a person gladly want you even more. I could understand a person if she said to go away. Ba-da-da. I could understand a person if she happened to be.
It is Wednesday, November 17th, 2021. On the show today, we have different stages in the Thanksgiving play, and of course, Nicole and I will have lively discussions of the world of theater with news and views around the world in Austin, New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Albuquerque, and Yazoo City, Michigan. Stick with us.
She shouldn't ought to sit on her butt. It's harder than a matador coercible to try to get you out of your rut. So single and attentive and attractive, a chick is everything a person could wish. But turning off a person is the act of a chick who likes to pull the hooks out of fish. Knock, knock, is anybody there? Knock, knock, it really isn't
fair.
Not fair,
not fair,
not fair. Knock, knock, I'm working on my work. The zombies in my arms. All that sweet affection, what is wrong? Where's the loose connection? How long, oh Lord, how long? Bobby, baby, Bobby, 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 you could drive a person frantic. You could blow a person's cool. Like you get a person all romantic. Why you make a feel a fool? But when a person says you just don't get her, that's when you're good. You impersonate a person better than a zombie should. I could understand a person if she wasn't good in bed.
She's good.
No, I could understand a person if she actually was dead. Exclusive view, elusive view. Will any person ever get the juice of you? You're crazy, you're a troubled person. You're a moving, deeply maladjusted, never to be trusted, crazy person. Yourself. Bobby is my hobby and I'm giving it up.
Bobby is my hobby and I'm giving her up. So that was a Tiny Desk Concert of the current production of Company, starring my girlfriend Katrina Link and others.
I just love, first of all, I love the arrangement for that song that they did for this.
Me too.
Second of all, how much fun at the Tiny Desk.
Did you see the concert?
Like doing all that. I did. I watched a few things on the YouTube this week. I was very proud of myself.
Awesome. Well, so that was from Company, obviously, and this is the transport. It's from it came from London, but Katrina Link is leading this as Bobby, and this is a gender swapped
transfer. That's what you meant.
What transfer? Yes. Although it wasn't an exact transfer. Katrina Link did not play it in London.
No, but I like transport.
I do too. So anyway, the three gentlemen you just heard singing were Bobby Conti, Claiborne Elder, and Manu Narin. This Tiny Desk concert was So normally, pre-pandemic times, these were done at the NPR studios. Now they do them in different places. And so it was in a bar. I forgot. I wish I remembered the name of the bar. But it was all these people just grouped around Katrina Link, and it sounded great. They did the opening number, Company. They did another 100 people. It just looks like a lot of fun.
It's very exciting.
Yeah, this is one I would like to see three times.
I agree. me.
Yeah. So if you want to see that, and you want, we have a link to it on offstageonair.com when I post the show, which will be a little bit later. I will, in all fairness and honesty to our audience, my car broke down, and I took a lift here that... it's so frustrating, and I'll just stand on my soapbox for a little second.
What happened?
When you order the Lyft, and then they go in the opposite direction, and what was a 3-minute estimated time turns into 12 minutes because they're going in all sorts. You know, they miss. You can watch them miss exits, and then they have to circle around, and then they take a different way. And of course, on the app, it looks like they're going 20 miles an hour. But when I finally got into the car with this woman, she was a speedster. I said, "I'm in a huge hurry. Got to take the toll lanes. Let's go." And we got here. I got here 1 minute ahead of time. As Nicole,
okay, that's pretty quick because I was texting with you during this whole kerfuffle. So, I'm impressed.
Yeah, me too. But so here we are. So it's going to be a little rough around the edges because I didn't have enough time to prepare and get everything done. Cause you know how always, I'm prepared.
Well, you know, it's in line with us liking to show how the sausage is made.
True. Well, and we like to eat chicken and biscuits.
We do like to eat chicken and biscuits, but sadly, they won't be on the menu much longer.
They won't. So they had to close down for, I think, more than a week for COVID illnesses within the play. And then they said, because of the financial hit there, and I'm going to also assume there was probably some box office issues, they decided to close. And they are closing in, they were scheduled through January 2nd. I think they're closing, I don't know where they're closing.
3 weeks. I don't think it's that long.
Yeah. So they're going to close soon. So that's too bad. This of course was the show with Michael Urie and Norm Lewis. That's a whole different person.
I was like, very two different people. And Norm Macdonald just recently passed, so that would have been quite a feat.
Oh God, I totally forgot about that. You are right.
Yes. So that would have been a very interesting. I mean, yeah. Whitney Houston's doing a hologram show in Vegas, so why not?
There you go. It can
what
be
do
done.
We know?
So Assassins opened.
Yes,
and this is the one directed by John Doyle. It got mixed reviews. The Times was not crazy about it at all. And this is, it's done by the Classic Stage Company. And they say, Gateau is played by a creepily unnerving Will Swenson. And I should say this review in the Times is written by Laura Collins Hughes. She was not crazy about it. And I wonder if I can find the spot that I wanted to read. And she called it a stripped-down, off-balance production. And then she talked about how during the original production, and this is really kind of hard, but Gateau at one point points a long gun at the audience. And in most productions, he leaves it with them and slowly pans the audience with a gun. In this case, John Doyle didn't do that. He did it much more. I want to find the words that she used, but it kept going through, and it shortened the event and took away a lot of the impact of the moment. And it's kind of difficult because in today's day and age, I get it. I totally get it.
I understand it from all sides. I get it. I totally get it.
Yeah, and that was one of the things that she said that took a lot of the oomph out of it. There was a three-piece orchestra led by Greg Jarrett. And, of course, Ethan Slater played the balladeer. Nobody doesn't like Ethan Slater.
Well, I guess I think it was on Vulture. I mean, they wrote some of the choices were weird. They thought the whole, like, musicians in the red and white jumpsuits were weird. Mm-hmm. And they kept, I think they even wrote, like, what? Why? Like, they wrote those questions in their review. And I remember them saying they couldn't hear Slater's voice 2/3 of the time.
Oh,
and I think it was due to the thrust stage and the...
Yeah, I heard a lot of people sort of complaining about the thrust, which I find strange.
It was just interesting to me to have people read about, to write concerns about a thrust stage, because I don't ever get that. So
yeah,
like,
yeah,
oh,
you really get that. Further in the review in the New York Times, she says, quote, Doyle staging never manages to harness that cumulative power. Faithful though it is to the show's sung and spoken texts, it's missing some vital connective tissue. But Marilyn
Well,
Stas-
like I said, someone wrote, it's frankly, it's weird. Someone wrote that in the, I think it was, pretty sure it was Vulture. I have to find it for you. I giggled reading everything. I was like, oh, we're not holding back.
Yeah. Marilyn Stasso, on the other hand, in Variety, liked it. And one of the things she talks about, the way we are as a nation, as opposed to, you know, 20 years ago when this thing premiered, mm-hmm. She says the bigger, painfully timely question posed by this new revival is, are we now so jaded as a nation that this modern classic has lost some of its shock value after 30 years? And the answer is nope. Between the musical's powerful content and Doyle's inventive presentations, Assassins is still a killer show.
Yeah, I was about to say, no, this was 1990. I remember the little off-Broadway thing. No, I don't think so at all. And here's the whole thing. I can...
Well, I don't know that she was writing exactly to you.
Well, I'm just telling you. my 2 cents.
I'm with you. I like your 2 cents.
I love this show so much. And I can see this show done and not be done well and leave going, oh, that's some interesting choices. Okay, I didn't like that casting. But I can still leave appreciating the show the way I did before. I like that it makes you think.
Yeah.
And it's clever.
Yep. Everything.
But Sondheim's clever.
Yep. Sondheim can be clever. That's true.
Yeah. You know, I mean.
I do not subscribe to the school where Sondheim can do no wrong. I don't like everything he's
done. I did not subscribe to that school either.
I know, but many people do.
He is.
Most of the reviews I read really loved Judy Kuhn and Tavi Gavison as Squeaky Fromm and Sarah Jane Moore, and that wonderful scene of the two of them, which is like
they
one of the
really
biggest.
They use that image a lot of the two of them too, and I'm like, probably because they're so great, and that's a great scene.
It's a great scene, and it's one of the few truly comic relief sections in the show.
Indeed.
It's like just funny. But Assassins, I would still want to go see it. I'm
me too.
Okay. Another
this
opening.
Gal is intrigued.
Yep. Another opening we had, which is a week ago, last Wednesday, I believe, was the Trevor the Musical. And Jesse Green wrote this review in the Times. And the headline is, Trevor is a musical that dare not speak its theme. It opened last week at Stage 42, and this is based on a 23-minute film of the same name, and this is the same Trevor that the Trevor Project came from, about bullying in the LGBTQ environment, community. But what is interesting is that the word gay is only used once in the entire show, and it's after midway through. And it's weird. According to this review, it was... it seemed like they were kind of afraid to tell it like it is, which I thought
really?
Was interesting.
Really? I was like, what's the reasoning why on that one?
Yeah. But he calls it a bizarrely cheery and thus tonally incomprehensible show in which everything potentially painful is anesthetized by saccharine songs and middle school cliches.
That's like a Rambos and Unicorn adventure.
Yeah. I looked at, there's a, on their website, they show a little piece of video done in rehearsal. It actually looks really fun. And it's got a slew of youngsters in it, including the young man that plays Trevor, whose name is Holden William Hagelberger. And then,
that's a great name.
I know. It really is. And
it's
then
a fun name to say. Wow.
Of course, he has an imaginary Diana Ross, played by Yasmin Suleiman.
Who doesn't want an imaginary Diana Ross?
Who doesn't want to have that? So I don't know. But one of the things he says is, he says, turning this material into a musical may not have been a wise choice.
Yeah, I found that interesting, because it was all like, it was so much fun. I enjoyed it. I was uplifted. And then it was like, maybe it wasn't a great choice. So that confuses me, the reader.
Yeah. That being said, you know, there are shows like Fun Home, Next to Normal, Spring Awakening, that have subject matter. What's the one, Egypt?
But
Katrina Link was in. What was that?
Band's Visit.
The Band's Visit. I mean, when I saw that movie, I go, why would you turn that into a musical? But
yes, but he saw the musical and then said that afterwards. He didn't go and see those other shows and then say, why was this turned into a musical?
Right.
You know?
There is one scene that Jesse liked, was a conversation between a candy striper and him while he was in the audience. And he says, quote, Aaron Alcatraz is the candy striper, archives in 2 minutes what the rest of the show fails to do in more than 2 hours. Musical comedy, lightness, anchored in honest emotion.
Wow.
Trevor, the musical.
Question, do candy stripers still exist?
I've not seen, when in the few times that I've spent any time in the hospital, I did not see them.
Yeah, me neither. I wonder that.
So we also had Mornings at 7 that opened. Had a lot of openings this week. This one was, and funny thing is like several of these were Broadway shows, and they did not do them on Did They Like It? Don't know why.
I don't either.
But anyway, Mornings at 7 is written by Paul Osborne, and it opened on Broadway in 1939 originally. There's been two other revivals. Now it's being staged at the theater at St. Clement's. And I guess it's directed by Dan Wackerman and his Peccadillo Theater Company. So
Another
it says,
fun word to say.
Yeah, again, not great reviews for this one either.
No.
no. And it says, within its thin psychology, predictable structure, and characters to laugh at, not with, the play serves as a snoozy, somewhat bitter slice of small town life. Mm. I know. So this was the one we talked about a while ago that had one of the women that I worked with, Once Upon a Time, Alma Cuervo, in it, amongst other people. That's the end of that story.
That's the end of that story.
Yeah. And now I wanted to get to this because this looks like a lot of fun. This show called Suffs. Have you heard of it? It's a new musical.
I have heard a teeny bit about it, and I'm a little intrigued.
I'm very intrigued. This is set for the public.
Yes, it's a public theater, right? That's what this is?
It is a public theater set to start performances in March of 2022 and open in April.
About voting, right? This is the same show.
It's Suffragettes, yes.
Yes, okay. I just want to make sure thinking of something else.
Lee Silverman is directing it, and it's got a book, music, and lyrics by Shana Taub. The cast is pretty amazing, including Jen Colella, Nikki M. James.
Isn't Philippa Sue in it?
Philippa Sue. I have to take a little detour here. One of the podcasts I listen to, instead of saying Philippa Sue, they called her Pippa Sue. And I just don't, I don't think that's right in a non-familiar place. I just want to say that out loud. I don't think this person knew Philippa Sue, and that's her.
I was like, here's the whole thing. Like, do they know Philippa Sue? Like, if you started calling me Nikki, I'd be okay with it because you're.
Yeah, but I'm not
going to
do it on the radio. Well, anyway.
I mean, if you did, though, I wouldn't get upset. But does she know him? That's the whole
question. Yeah, I don't think she does.
We don't know that.
Her, I mean. Philippa Sue's a girl. So here it is. Suffs brings to life the complicated chapter in an ongoing battle for the right to vote, the American women's suffrage movement. This new musical was originally titled Suffragist in past readings. So it looks, I'm looking forward to that.
I find it interesting indeed.
Indeed, indubitably. Let's see what's next on my list.
Oh, we haven't said indubitably in a while.
We haven't. You may remember before the pandemic, for colored girls who considered suicide when the rainbow was not enough, was set to open, and then it didn't.
Yes.
And so now it's going to happen. It's going to play the Booth Theater in March, directed and choreographed by Camille Brown.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Got it. Found a space and a time and a place.
And this is the play by Nozaki Shange. God. Dogged, I even pronounced the pronunciation of that. It was originally opened in September of 1976 when I was a senior in high school.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. So have you been paying attention to all the mishigas around Annie Live? Annie Live.
Oh, like people out, people in?
People out, person in, basically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we lost Jane Krakowski and got Megan Hilty.
We did.
Eh. Oh, what's that?
I mean, good for Megan, but you know.
Yeah, people are actually excited about it, but I
love Jane. I'm
do too. I mean, I'm with you on this
Jane
one.
Jane is just, I have seen her on stage so many times, long before the world was in love with her, and she's got something special that lots of people don't have. She is that it. I think Megan's talented and lovely, but she's no Jane.
I think you're right.
She's no Jane playing Lily St. Regis. I mean, come on now. But I understand Jane had some breakthrough COVID cases going on while filming, and she's in Europe, and
so
you know they can't make it happen. I completely understand.
True, and I forgot the gentleman's.
It's a bummer.
I forgot the gentleman's name that is playing Roosevelt. But he is actually a polio survivor. So that's interesting, seeing how Roosevelt had polio.
I don't know, the commercials have made me laugh because every time I seem to look up is always when Harry Connick is winking or Taraji's all hammy. And I don't know how I feel about Taraji playing Miss Hannigan now from the commercials. And I was excited before.
Well, we will see. It opens December 2nd. Yeah. It plays December 2nd. I unfortunately will not be able to see it because that is opening night for Unexpected Joy. But also...
Yes, but you know what? You have the DVR. You can record that stuff for later.
I don't have a DVR anymore, but I think I have a way to do it.
Okay, well, I can do it. You can watch.
But it doesn't matter. Well, I'm gonna see it. But did you see who's playing Eleanor Roosevelt?
No, who's playing Eleanor?
Somebody named Andrea McCardle.
Oh, what a great way to... That's just... I like that. That makes me smile.
And folks will know
did
that...
Did you know that the sun will come out tomorrow?
I did. Andrea McCardle, of course, everybody knows, was in the original 1976 Annie that opened on Broadway in 1976.
Yes. She was also in Andrew Lloyd Webber's Starlight Express. I just would like to remind you of that, too.
Yeah.
Roller skating around.
Very good. And then I'm assuming you heard about the mishigas around William Ivy Long.
Yeah, did this week feel like it was extra drama in the theatrical world?
There was
world
a lot of drama in the theater world. So William Ivy Long is a very well-known and heretofore respected costume designer on Broadway. And he has done things. I keep forgetting what he's done, but I've got them all here.
I know. I'm all like, and I could.
He did Chicago, Hairspray, and some others. I mean, he's done a show every year for a long time. So he has been accused of sexual misconduct from back in 2002 in a production of The Lost Colony by Paul Green. Lost Colony is an outdoor musical. It's been around, I think it's in the Carolinas or in the Virginias, one of those two, forever, about the Lost Colony.
Is it one you've done?
I have not.
Do you like to do those outdoor shows?
I only did one outdoor drama. It was called The Lone Star. Yes.
Oh, The Lone Star one. Okay.
Yes. Anyway, it's interesting. I had not heard. So, again, the podcast I listened to Today on Broadway mentioned that they have been talking about Impropriety by William Ivy Long for years. But I
never heard any.
I never heard any either.
But evidently, I hadn't heard any.
But evidently, they said they've been reporting on it for years. I don't remember seeing it. And I was hoping that this article that's from NPR would shine some light on some of the earlier things that were in there. But no, everything revolves around these two alleged incidents in 2002 with two young men. And indeed, I tend to take the word of the victim moreover than the alleged perpetrator, but we don't know. He was doing the costumes for Diana the musical, which I should say opens tonight.
That's right. I was like, part of it was so scandalous. What did he have opening? There you go. Thank you for putting that together.
Well, except they parted company a while back.
But that's where it all came in my mind, and yep. I remembered. I got it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So there's a very long article that you can link to at offstageonair.com, or just look for NPR William Ivy Long. I do know that we have a local connection to him, or someone that's worked with him in the past, but I'll just leave it at that. And finally, I want to talk about Tick, Tick, Boom.
OMG. My brother and I have been saying that. We were just talking about it this morning. Who knew Andrew Garfield could sing?
Yeah. So Tick, Tick, Boom is written by Jonathan Larson, produced posthumously, which has created a little bit of ripples, saying maybe he didn't want it produced, but, you know, doesn't matter. It got produced. Directed for film by Lin-Manuel Miranda. And it's gotten good notices thus far.
They did work with his sister, who, is in charge of all this work very closely to keep it in line with him. So I think that, is.
Well, yeah, but
good, I have to tell you, I think you and I both love the music. We don't think it's the greatest show when you look at it to be done. It looks like Lin made it work how it should work. I don't know. I found it quite fascinating, and I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah, it will be streamable soon. But I will have to correct you a little bit. I'm not fond of this show. As a matter of fact, we were thinking about doing it here, and after I read it and listened to the music, I said, "No, thank you." So I'll be interested to see the film because everything I've heard is positive.
Yeah, it's looked really interesting, and I like the little. There's lots of. Material online where they do a lot of different interviews and Lin talking about it, and I found it fascinating.
Yeah, so I just found out in rehearsal last night, I was talking about it, and my stage manager, Remy Joslin, has already seen it. She went to the movie theater to watch it.
Oh, and did she like it?
She did. She loved it. She's a huge Jonathan Larson fan and really liked to follow his life, and this is, I should say, if people don't know, is autobiographical.
Yes. He did write it.
Yeah. So I'm sorry. Somebody just texted me and I looked at it. I shouldn't do that. But yeah.
Was it me?
No, he did write it, and it is autobiographical. So I'm looking forward to it coming to streaming, and I will look at it. I'm also waiting for Dear Evan Hansen to come to streaming. It's no longer in the theaters that I can see. So when will I be able to watch it streamed?
I don't know. I haven't seen the date for any of that either, but it was like commercial, 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 and theater, and then it just stopped.
Well,
and
Tick,
I was
Tick,
like,
Boom.
Well, what happened?
Tick, Tick, Boom, I believe, is on the 19th of this month, so you'll be able to see
this
next
week. And
then
I saw another trailer for the West Side Story and got very excited about that.
Yeah, they just released a new one. I have not seen this new one. Is it? But again, not a lot of singing, correct?
No, not as much singing, but more singing, and it was kind of spliced, intertwined with dialogue and action and choreography, and I enjoyed it.
Totally.
It still wasn't as great as the second one you and I both got so excited about, but I did enjoy this and go, oh, has a little meat to this one. I'm interested.
Cool. Totally looking forward to it. So let's take a break. Let's listen to a little bit of 3090 from Tick, Tick, Boom. And
tick,
it is
tick,
actually
boom.
From the soundtrack to this film. So it's the actual thing.
It's the actual thing, the thing.
It is the actual thing. So
from Tick, Tick, Boom.
Hang out. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Stop the clock. Take time out.
Here in the Zoom room, I am so honored and privileged to have the folks from different stages next production, the Thanksgiving play. And the director and my personal best friend of all time, Melissa Vogt, is here with us. Hi, Melissa.
Hello.
And two of the actors. We have Luke Wallens. Hi, Luke.
Hello.
And Kiara McCarty. Hi, Kiara.
Hi.
Well, this play, I mean... Well, first of all, it's timely. It's called the Thanksgiving play. It's a new piece. And I just want you to tell folks about it because I think the title belies what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. So I had been introduced to this piece while it was still in development by Rudy Ramirez. And he said, you have to read what Larissa Fast Horse is working on right now. Larissa is an Indigenous playwright. She typically writes plays for Indigenous people. And I was super interested in it because she's a fabulous playwright. So I read it while it was still being worked on. And I was like, wow, this is really interesting. And it's got quite a bite to it. I am really curious to see how it turns out. Well, I happened to be in New York when it premiered at Playwrights Horizon. I was there for a TCG conference. And so I actually got to see the first production and it just had me falling out of my seat, laughing at all the silly white people, because that's really what this play is about. It's a bunch of, you know, progressive, air quotes, woke white people trying to put on a Thanksgiving play that honors the Native American experience, which is, you know, spoiler alert, not great around Thanksgiving.
Wait a second. You mean it's not what I was taught in elementary school with little Tom Turkey and all the little lovely pilgrims and natives eating together?
It's not actually like that, but you know.
Okay. So, I, for one, am shocked.
These four folks. I know. See, if you want to like find out about the Indigenous experience, you know, through the lens of white people, so you'll have to like drop by and see the show.
Awesome. So, Kiara, tell us about your character and what you do in the play.
So I play Logan. She is the drama teacher and she has been hired to put together a Thanksgiving play for the elementary grades. And she's trying her best to do this in a culturally sensitive and politically correct way. And she's got three other people helping her. And I can't tell you what happens. You would have to come see the show.
Which is what we're hoping folks do.
Yes, we hope so. But, you know, Logan is very much a type A, I would say. And her intentions are to be good. Like she wants to do her best, but she doesn't always end up doing her best.
As is often the case with us white folks.
Yeah.
You know, the best intent. What do they say about the road to hell?
Yep.
Good thing Jews don't believe in hell. Luke, tell us about your character.
Yes, I play Jackson, and he is a self-described actor / yoga dude. He does a lot of acting around town and considers himself very professional and very he tries to remain very grounded and centered throughout and politically correct to a T and then you know to a point where it's like he really really just, it just tries to get to the zen of the moment. And then, and also, you know, like acting and be as professional actor as possible.
So I'm taking it there's a little bit of a play within a play here. Do we get to see some of this play that's being attempted in the most politically correct way?
Absolutely. So we get to basically be a part of the most exciting moment, the first rehearsal of this devised piece about the true Thanksgiving experience.
Awesome. I'm not familiar with the term devised. What does that mean?
So, oh, Kiara, do you want to explain it?
Sure. It means that we all come together and work together, try out some scenes and do some improv and stuff. But then Logan, the director, puts everything together and types up the piece. So she's in charge, but everyone's working together to come up with ideas.
Got it. It's what we back in the day used to call a workshop.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Awesome. I'm teasing. I knew what devised meant.
but not everybody knows.
So not everybody does. And I know that, you know, when we've worked on devised pieces, people go, I don't get what that means. And then you have to go through the schmeal. So, you know, oftentimes we ask people, you know, why this piece? Why now? But that's kind of obvious. But I will ask you, Melissa, why this piece? Why now?
Well, you know, it was supposed to happen during the pandemic, and obviously, like, did not because of the pandemic. But I feel like, in a way, the universe just, like, made it the perfect moment. We, during the pandemic times, have had a huge reckoning culturally with Black Lives Matter, with, you know, Standing Rock, all of this stuff that is coming together and colliding in our culture. This play speaks to it, and it speaks to it in a way that is super funny, but I hope you're prepared to laugh at yourself, because you will see yourself in these characters and all of their best intentions and all of their mistakes and all of their microaggressions. it can be shocking. The show is also very shocking. So, yeah.
And that's important. I mean, many theater goers look like us. Hey, so I understand that you have a little piece that that y'all can perform for us here on the Zoom room.
Yes.
Yeah, I will have to tell all of you that nodding does not work on the radio.
Yes.
I was waiting for my actors to be like, yeah! Like, yeah.
So, does this need setting up at all?
This scene is between Logan and Jackson, right at the top of the show, when they're there before the other collaborators have gotten there, and they're setting up the room for the rehearsal.
Great, wonderful. Well, this is going to be a scene performed by Kiara McCarty and Luke Wallens from Different Stages, the Thanksgiving play.
Oh, what's that?
What's what?
Is that soy cheese or coagulated cheese squeezed from a cow?
Coagulated. You know, I'm a vegan ally, but I've realized I like cheese on my crackers.
I already struggle with the holiday of death.
If you're planning on calling it the holiday of death as the title of this Thanksgiving play, you'll lose your job for sure.
This is far more than a Thanksgiving play now. I got the Gender Equity in History grant, the Excellence in Educational Theater Fellowship, a municipal arts grant, and the Go Girls Scholastic Leadership Mentorship.
I know, parents, to get them back on your side, you're going to have to kill a turkey.
I'm a vegan.
You're a teaching artist with a 300 parent petition to fire you.
I'm staying in the positive. This kind of talk isn't helping.
Okay, sending you nothing but light.
Oh, thank you. I have a surprise too. I also got that Native American Heritage Month Awareness Through Art grant.
Really?
They gave me funding so I could hire a professional actor.
Oh, finally.
And I was able to bring the perfect one to town. She elevates the whole project.
A professional actor right here.
Technically, you volunteer for these school shows?
I get paid for that show at the farmer's market.
Yeah, but you do it on a street corner and are paid in a coffee can.
That is my official performance spot given to me by farmers market security because they understand the importance of teaching about composting.
Jaxton, I value your work, but this woman is from Los Angeles.
Oh, here we go with LA again. It's not the center of the acting world.
It kind of is.
The commercial acting world. Be grateful you didn't make it there. It shows what kind of person you are.
Kind of person who wasn't beautiful enough or sexy enough to make it?
Don't let your head go there, Logan.
Well, wait until you see this actor. She's so beautiful. So LA.
What is beauty?
A social construct.
That we don't believe in. We value talent and art, not looks. You are a talented actress.
Even better. I'm a director now, but I still let my past in LA color my present, don't I?
You can't reach new lands until you let go of the shore, or in this case, return to old lands, but as a newly enlightened person because of the journey to the land that was new, but is now old and needs to be let go of.
Exactly. I think I can mentor this woman. Help her recover from the false value placed on her sexuality because I've taken that journey. Show her how much more she can be. Thank you for that self-awareness.
You are one of the most self-aware people I know.
Since knowing you.
I just do my best and hope to Buddha that my karma makes up for the rest of it.
What fun! I think we know both of those people.
Yes. Yeah, I set this in Austin because I'm like, oh, these people, they exist.
Yeah, they do. Well, it looks like a lot of fun. I can't wait to see it. This is playing at the Vortex.
It is. It is.
Have any of you ever worked at the Vortex before?
No, this is my first time working at the Vortex. Super excited.
Excellent. What about you, Melissa? Any connection with the Vortex at all?
Gee, you know, I always aspire to work at the Vortex.
We wish say that Melissa is managing director. What's your title?
Managing director of the Vortex. Yeah.
Awesome. So it's happening at the Vortex. What are the dates?
We open on Friday, November 19th, and we run through Saturday, December 11th. We have a show on Wednesday, December 8th, I believe, that Wednesday, to make up for the fact that we're not actually performing on Thanksgiving.
You go. Well, funny, Ground Floor Theater has a performance on Wednesday the 8th as well. For industry people, but you won't be a part of that.
Oh, man. Well, maybe I will. I can come.
That's true. And this is a different stages production, and I might add here that I think this is the very first different, you know, we've had different stages on the show often. I don't think we've ever not had Norman as part of a different stages interview. So it's good. The kids are taking over the shop.
That's right.
Great. Where do folks go to get information about this show?
They can go to two places. I would say that if you want information and tickets, that you would go to www.vortexrep.org. You can get all sorts of information about this show and other different stages productions if you go to differentstagestheater.org.
Awesome. Well, good. Thank you so much for being on the show. And I truly look forward to seeing this one.
They call it the wrong note rare. It's got a little twist that really drives you insane.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa
and Nicole.
We're getting down to our last 10 minutes here, Nicole, but we will attempt to have a good time. Let's talk about some local yokel stuff.
All righty then. Let's do it.
And then, of course, we'll stand by for our favorite segment, Yesterday in Theater History.
Why is it? Oh, we're doing yesterday. Yesterday.
All our troubles seem so far away.
We're mixing it up.
So I want to remind folks that a really good site to get information for everything that is Austin Theater is atxtheater.org. The newest organization here in Austin to bring all the theater community together in one place. And on the website, they have listings and auditions and all sorts of other mishigas.
Smorgasbord of information.
Yes, and I want to highlight a couple of things that I saw on there today. And one is the book club play that's playing at St. Ed's. Have you ever seen the book club play? It's really... Quite nice. Different stages did it.
Yeah, different stages
did a couple years ago. I think it was different stages at the Santa Cruz.
I think so. But
yeah,
I do
it definitely was. I was there.
Yep. Oh, there you go.
I was there. I saw it. But anyway, this version is playing now through the 21st, which is right around the corner. So if you're interested in it, you better get to it. And this is the book club by.
Lots of time if that's your jam.
What?
You don't have a lot of time. That's your jam.
Okay. That's I still didn't understand what you said, but I'm just going to nod in agreement. anyway, the book club play is written by Karen Zacharias. And then I saw something I'm surprised I did not know about this, but Tilt Performance Group, one of my favorite theater companies here, they work with actors that are both disabled and abled. And they are doing a take on The Secret Garden. From December.
From the environmental standpoint, right? Is that the
I believe so,
that
yes.
I saw?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I just adore them too. I think this was quite charming and brilliant.
I do as well. And this is an online event, starts on December 2nd and goes through January 7th. And this is not to be mistaken with the musical, which is taken from the same exact book, but I do not believe that this is a musical.
I do not believe it is. It is either, but it is still the Frances Hodges Keyes story.
Yes,
stuff, right?
Thank you. Thank you for coming up with that name all by yourself.
Did I get them in the right order?
I think so. I don't know. boy, there was something else on my other list that I wanted to talk about in the local thing, and I can't remember what it is. But there are lots of local happenings. I will do a quick teaser for next week's show. We're going to be interviewing Bill Russell, Tony nominee for Sideshow, and writer of Pageant, as
he
well.
He's been on in a while. Since
he has not been on in a while.
Sideshow was on, the revival was on the Broadway, I think.
Yep, it was indeed. He's going to be on the show talking about Unexpected Joy, which is happening at Ground Floor Theater, opening on December 2nd. So I'm very excited to talk to him again. We'll also have one of the actors from the show on as well. So a quick commercial for next week's show here on Offstage and on the Air.
Breaking news, you heard it.
Breaking news. And we may, one of the things that you'll notice, those of you who listen to Co-op Radio a lot, don't hear, haven't heard in a long time any promos for Offstage and On the Air, but Nicole does not know this, but we're going to record one very, very soon.
We haven't recorded any new ones in a long time.
Yeah, it's been ages.
It has been.
So I just do want to also reiterate how great atxtheater.org is.
And I have to tell you, you can tell all the info that is being added all the time. So it is currently fluid stuff on there.
Yeah, Sharon Anderson, who's been putting this all together, has just done an awesome job. Oh, that's what I'm glad we were talking about this, because it's what I wanted to talk about is the San Francisco's version. They copied us. Here in Austin. So San Francisco has done the same thing. They call it Bay Area Arts Together. And it's a group of theaters that have come together specifically in this case to welcome folks back to the theater after the pandemic. And they are doing this with videos just as we are. So I'm sort of flattered that San Francisco has taken our idea and run with it.
I said this to you and Mara and Sharon and... Isn't Drew, isn't the point that, like, you inspire other people and places to be like, I need to do this. We should have this in our city. And I have to say, apparently you did. Hats off.
Absolutely. So let's do yesterday in theater history.
Yesterday.
yesterday in theater history, not to be confused with today, but yesterday.
Yesterday, and I don't know why they didn't have today, but it's been fortuitous because yesterday was quite active.
Quite a day?
Yep, quite a day. You remember back in 1935, Billy Rose did a show that was a circus motif. He paid $340,000 for it, and it's called Jumbo, and it had a elephant in it.
I was like, was there an elephant in it?
The book was written by Richard Rodgers. Lawrence Hart did the lyrics, and Jimmy Durante was in it. And he said a famous line, and I'm going to read this verbatim. When police catch the big nose comet trying to smuggle the little character out of the circus, they demand to know where he thinks he's going with the elephant. Durante plants himself in front of the huge pachyderm and innocently replies, "What elephant?" Crickets. Jimmy Durante.
You just wanted to say that, didn't you?
I did. 1959, Mary Martin opened The Sound of Music.
Mary Martin.
Yes. Rodgers and Hammerstein with a book by Howard Lindsay and Russell Krauss. Sound of Music. Are you a Sound of Music fan or are you a Sound of Music not fan?
Not really my jam.
Yeah, I like it.
I have fond memories of it for reasons of my mother and childhood loving it so much, but no, not really my jam.
But
that's okay.
Your best friends, Kander and Ebb, and that's John Kander and Fred Ebb, opened this night in 1968, Zorba. And it starred Herschel Bernardi, who, as well as Maria Karnikova, who were both in the production of Fiddler on the Roof that I saw in 1969.
Oh, well, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I love it.
Speaking of Stephen Sondheim, Merrily We Roll Along opened.
Did it really?
Yesterday.
You weren't kidding when you said it was a crazy day.
It's a crazy day. So if you remember last week when we said today in theater history, Oh Brother, the show I was in, opened on that same year at the same time. And then 6 days later, Merrily We Roll Along. And I still say that we were the bigger flop, but there you go. 1989, you might remember, there was a revival of Gypsy starring Tyne Daly.
I do remember. I believe I actually saw that now that you, bring that up.
Yeah. In 2003, Priscilla Lopez, Daphne Rubin Vega, and Jimmy Smits are in Nilo Cruz, Anna in the Tropics, being done at Ground Floor Theater next season.
Yes, but can we talk about that cast? Could you please just bring them all back?
Is that amazing?
Oh, my gosh. You know who Priscilla Lopez, people will know her as Deanna Morales. We just recently played Nothing, how ironically.
That's correct.
From A Chorus Line.
In 2006, Mary Poppins opened. I mean, there's a lot of opening.
Mary Poppins!
And then in 2014, you were in the Broadway Theater watching Hugh Jackman in Jez Butterworth's The River. Starring your friend, Cush Gumbo.
Cush Jumbo, like Billy Wilder's movie, not gumbo, like what we eat in New Orleans.
So there you go. Other birthdays, Elizabeth Perkins, Paula Vogel, Martha Plimpton, Donna McKechnie.
Oh.
I mean, what's crazy about this day?
That's Chorus Line. I mean, we've tied them all together. This is phenomenal.
Yeah, yeah. So
what a great day.
That was Yesterday in Theater History.
Yesterday was a good day.
It was indeed. And there you've done it. You have spent an hour with Lisa and Nicole here at Offstage and On the Air. And we're just going to gear up for next week. It's been a crazy, crazy day here in Austin, Texas. This should be our last hot day. We're still in summer again, it appears, but it's supposed to be winter tomorrow.
I think I've changed my clothes like 6 times. I don't know what season it is.
Yeah, don't change a hair for me. Your hair's too long for me.
Ba, ba, ba.
Your hair's a song to me. People will say we need a haircut. Okay, there was those. A lot of people don't know that was
we have
the original
lost our
lyrics
mind at the end of the show.
Yep. So we're going to go out. So remember, do us with all the social media stuff. Give us a review. We like those. And we're going to play, as we leave here, we're going to play from Zorba, because that's both Candor and Ebb. We're going to play...
great musical.
No Boom Boom.
Oh, that's another good song.
It's such
all
a
right.
fun song. And I believe this is Donna Murphy's. I think this is a version that Donna Murphy sings.
Oh, you did get a good one.
Yeah, I specialize in good ones. And then you, everybody here listening live on the radio, should stand by for Texas Live Texas Music Mixtape with DJ Mark. He's next. All right, woo-hoo. Nicole and I will be back next week when we look at what's happening off stage and on the air. Au revoir.
Lisa,
little admiral, no boom boom. Please, sir, pretty admiral, no boom boom. This evening when it's dark, I'll let you come to my room. But first you have to promise no boom.